We talk trash about the favorite. Dang it. I was trying to do the Ira Glass voice, make it more serious and solemn. I lost it.
You should have been trying to do the Ving Rhames voice.
Yeah.
since we're discussing Mission Impossible.
I can't try that. That's offensive.
It's like very deep.
The Angela Bassett monologue. Okay.
Yes.
This is PS You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. And we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Wow. Excellent.
We did it. We came back. I'm sad we didn't get to do a pop culture roundup this week, honestly, because I feel like there was so many weird, random, fun stories. And I wanted your take on all of them. And now that I'm saying this out loud, I've forgotten every single one.
Oh, I was going to say, well, what's the top line item that we should be discussing? I saw Beyonce, which I wanted to talk about. And then I also saw Final Destination Bloodlines, hated.
Interesting. Everyone's been loving that. I meant to ask, like, if it lived up to your weird... I don't know how to predict what you like.
Have you seen, not to get us derailed right away, but why not? Have you seen Final Destination movies?
Like, no, I've it's been one that I've tracked. Like, I know the plot of at least the first two, but no.
Yeah, so, like, I know the premise of the movie, which is, like, you cheat death, and then death is going to kill you, so they die in these, like, really elaborate ways, which I do think is fun. But because there's, like, five of them, I feel like if a franchise is, like, too far ahead of me, I'm, like, to watch five of these, it's like, oh, my gosh, this is too much. Like, this is exhausting, the thought of it.
I see. And this was a big callback one.
Well, yeah. So I thought this was, like, a requel or whatever. I thought this was going to be new, which it sort of was in some ways. Like, it wasn't like there's characters from previous ones who really pop up in this. But what I did not realize, and... I apologize if I'm spoiling this for you or for other people, is that literally every person dies in the movie. Like, there's not a final girl. You know what I mean? Like, I'm used to...
Wait a second.
I'm used to, like, you know, it's like there's a serial killer. The serial killer is going to kill everybody. But then there's somebody who wins at the end. And the whole movie, you know, it's like... It's likable characters, and they're all getting these backstories, and you know, they're trying to figure out, if we do this, we can cheat death. Oh, if we do this, we get to cheat death. And then you get to the end of the movie, and you think that these characters won, and then this, like, train derails and kills them both at the last minute. And I was just like, well, what is the point of this franchise?
It's to watch gory death.
If we're just watching these people... Well, okay, it's like... I get, let's watch these gory deaths. Like, that is fun. But I'm like, then we don't need to be spending all this time
on the
sort of, like, character development. And also, I'm like, if we're going to just kill everybody, let's make the people bad people. You know what I mean?
No, like, but let's that's have the it point. Be like, it's like, let's it's have death. It... It's not justice, you know? It's just death. It's like, oopsie.
Yes, but, like... But
and
it's
I will say that, that there are survivors in the other one, so I think that is sort of like a twist here, is that they thought they did it, but then they didn't, right? So that was like, I'm pretty sure, at least in the first two, the guy figures it out. And even in this one, I read the plot, if you can't tell, because I was curious why it was, like, you know, 85% positive reviews. And they visit a guy who cheated death, right? And he's like, this is how you do it. But then they just get the math wrong or something, right?
They visit somebody who knows somebody who cheated death.
Yeah.
and it's because they died and then they came back. You know, it
was
situation. So this one girl drowns and then she comes back at the end and they're like, she cheated death. And then this doctor in the last minute, it's like, Well, actually, not really. Like, like it really doesn't count if you just like drown because your heart doesn't stop. And they're like, what? Wait. And then this train with logs on it derails and like
callback
kills them both.
Final Destination 2.
But I was like, okay, if we're just gonna kill people off, like then let's just make this like an let's make this like the cast of Succession, or you know what I mean? Like, yeah, let's make this like
you'd be all in.
Something that's more like bodies, 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 or where it's like, oh, all of these people are annoying, and it's sort of fun to see like what order the annoying people get.
Maybe you
in.
Should explore why you are okay watching annoying people die, but you draw for entertainment, but you draw the line at interesting people in a good movie dying.
I don't you know. No, I don't care if. Like, it doesn't bother me if good characters die in movies. Like, I think sometimes that can be used really well, obviously, for emotional impact, such as in Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, which we'll discuss.
Of course, yeah.
But I guess I just don't understand, like,
right,
why we're putting in so much effort to sort of, like these characters if we know that the characters are going to die the whole time, which I guess maybe in the other movies that's not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was sort of, I just got to the end that I was kind of like, and here's the other thing, I guess, is that all of the emotional scenes are bad. Like, the writing's bad, the acting's bad, like, the good parts of the movie are the kills.
Right.
So I'm like, why are we spending all of this time and energy on, like, bad dialogue and bad acting when that part of the movie doesn't really even pay off at all? Like, and the people who die at the end don't really have, like, it's not like, oh, they sacrifice themselves for somebody or something like that. Yeah, it's like, no, they just, like, get pulled over by a train. And also, while I'm talking about gripes of the Final Destination Bloodlines, there is a scene where they are in a cemetery, and it's a funeral scene, and the entire thing is shot on a green screen. Like, it's so obvious. And I'm like, you're telling me that in Toronto or wherever they filmed this, they couldn't have just driven some people to the set in like, of some cemetery somewhere. It was not a, like, it was not a kill scene. It, like, nothing interesting was happening. It was literally just a funeral for one of their family members, and it was shot on
green screen. Probably in post. It was probably, like, they didn't want to bother, you know?
No, it was probably, like, reshoots, and they couldn't get back to the cemetery or something, but I was just like, this looks so bad, and it's so lazy. I did not like, I just thought it was not a great movie.
Yeah.
Like, the kill sequences were fun. I'll say that. But as a whole, I was kind of like, this is missing something. And also, all the kills are sort of like these Rube Goldberg-y kind of things, which are entertaining and I did enjoy. But I was also sort of like, I have some questions about the rules of the universe, because would somebody who, like, got diagnosed with cancer and then got treatment, like, are they cheating death?
They weren't fated to die.
But what counts as cheating death and what doesn't? Because it also seems like, oh, if your airplane was supposed to crash and then it didn't crash, like, oh, well, then maybe you weren't fated to die. Right, yeah. So. It's like, how come some airplanes, when they crash, like, when they don't crash, it's fine, and other airplanes, when they don't crash,
I think it's taking the idea that death is omnipresent, past, future, you know? Like, it's like, so it knows the this is like how God was taught to me too, right? It's like, he knows what you'll do, but you still have free choice, but then he knows how it'll end. And so it's sort of like, you can change. It's not, he can change.
Yeah, sure. Okay, good luck with that.
I wanted to rant about something too.
Oh, okay.
Okay, what? Just really quick. I watched Sirens, which is that new.
Oh, yeah, Julia. I did not watch.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, first of all, you know, I love Megan Fahey, and
she's on a string of bad ideas.
Well, no, everyone's liking this. It's just like weird. And I guess this is also spoiler territory, but I need to talk to someone about it. But it's like sort of positioned as this like culty mythic situation where Julianne Moore is playing this really rich, vibey, you know, socialite, and it's Labor Day weekend on the island, and it's like everyone's acting kind of weird and strange, and it seems like maybe she has some sort of, you know, siren-like power over these men and these people, and is sort of like I was expecting there to be some sort of mythical, magical twist. But then in the end, it's sort of like, you guys got tricked. It's just girls stabbing each other in the back. And I was like, I get it. Like, congrats. That's clever. You got me. But I felt like cheated out of what I was sold. So pretty disappointing in that. And everyone, you know, the acting was good and the writing was fine. I don't know. I was surprised to see how positive the reviews have been. Because it wasn't like that fun to me, because everything that was fun was about the weirdness. And then the weirdness ended up just being like a red herring. And so I was like, what? But that's what I watched. So I wanted to put that out there.
Okay, so listeners, don't watch Sirens or Final Destination's Bloodline.
And but I think, what about?
And I think it's possible we could be adding a third film to that list in the form of Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning.
The Final Reckoning.
Which is not the final Mission Impossible movie, question mark.
What? Yes, it is. The final Tom Cruise.
I think it remains open. I think initially this was supposed to be the final, but now it feels not like, it feels not conclusive to me.
I think it's the final. You mean just because, you know, it's not like James Bond where he dies in the end, or you just mean he's been saying stuff on the promo tour now that's like less finally?
Well, I feel like I sort of feel like both. Like,
I think it's the final. I mean, if anything, they might do a spinoff like Ballerina for John Wick, but I do not think.
You don't think Tom Cruise is going to do another one of these?
I don't think so.
Interesting.
I don't think so. I mean, one, he made the decision to like end it, and I think that this was such a big piece, you know, making it a double film and getting everyone involved, and how much homage was paid in this film, that it did feel like a closer to me. Obviously the world still exists to play with, but I do not think, and like, yeah, I might eat my words because money talks, but I don't think there will be another one.
Because I'm sort of like, what else is Tom Cruise gonna do?
I don't know, relax for once in his life.
Maybe
he'll go the Arnold Schwarzenegger route and just like build a playground for him to blow things up and try crazy stunts without having to get it on film, you know.
Interesting.
But yeah, no, this was the final reckoning. Is that what it's called?
Technically, yes. That is what it is titled.
The Final Reckoning. And we did an episode when the first one came out. Was it last year or was it 2 years ago?
No, I think it was a couple years ago at least.
Okay. And you know what bothered me? Number one complaint is that it's called Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Right. But well, then they changed it. They retroactively changed it to just Dead Reckoning.
They did? No, it still says Part 1, like on the title cards.
I mean, maybe like in the movie, but I'm pretty sure that they like, you know, sort of like announced at some point that it was like, okay, like we're changing the second one to Final Reckoning.
The Wikipedia is still called Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Look, I don't know, Shelby, but I'm
pretty
sure
that... Well, that's what I'm saying is annoying to me. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, yes.
I just wanted to say Rotten Tomatoes calls it Dead Reckoning Part 1.
I mean, that is what it was titled when it came out. So that does make sense.
Well, so then they didn't retroactively change it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they announced that they were, like, you know, quote unquote, changing it, but like I don't know what sort of name forms you have to put in to get the Wikipedia.
The legal name change for movie sequels. Yeah,
yes, I don't want a dead name. Mission Impossible, sure, Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Well, I just think that continuity would have served this. Because I didn't like that. And I feel like if people were collecting DVDs still, that would be an irritant. So I just wanted to put that on the record.
Okay.
And
our number one qualm with the movie, start if this softball. Movie was in a DVD, we would not be happy about it. I'm sure there is a DVD version of this somewhere.
I mean, of course. Yeah.
Well, or not yet, because it's not out yet, but it's still in theaters. Okay. I have been a noted not fan of Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
I have not. I will say this. I have not seen all of these. I think I've seen the... I saw Fallout. I know. Because I think we did an episode on that.
Yeah, that was made you watch that. You watched the one with Jeremy Renner and the sand, right? You hated that one.
Yes, the one with the one where they're in the where they go down the side of the building.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're such a hater for no
reason. I saw that one.
Yeah.
Did I see that one's Ghost Protocol? Yes.
Yes. Ghost Protocol.
Did I see Rogue Nation? I feel like maybe no, but then if it got over $1 billion, oh, and it didn't.
No.
Okay, so I don't think I've seen Rogue Nation, and I have not seen the first three.
Yeah. So similar to Final Destination, you have some Final Destination.
I have a lot of opinions, and I've only seen some of the movies.
I've seen them all. I mean, we can roll back the tape on our last episode about this. I like Fallout, I think, is an excellent film. I think it's an excellent action film. And I think everything about it works really well. And that sort of was a, like, obviously these films have done well and they've been received well by their target audience. But Fallout was like the one where people were like, oh, wow, this is actually like all pieces are working together and this is great. And I think that renewed interest in where it was going and that kind of, in my mind, led to this big final double feature. Where he wanted to show off his skills one more time. Well, two more times.
Yes. Yeah, Fallout did really, really well across the board. And it worked in a way that I don't necessarily think either of these final pieces or the Dead Reckoning or the Final Reckoning worked. Yeah. And I think this was worse than Dead Reckoning Part 1.
No. I disagree. I think you would disagree too.
I guess I haven't seen Dead Reckoning Part 1 in a bit. I'll say this, though. I think that... So the thing that's weird about these movies is how they are put together, which is basically that they sort of decide what kind of stunts they want, and then they sort of generally map out kind of what is going to happen around that. And then they film all of these scenes like sort of written on the fly, and they're changing things. And I interviewed Haley Atwell for this movie. The article's up on Parade if you want to go read it. Please. But she talks about, you know, how like she has no idea what the movie is going to look like until she sits down in theaters, because she doesn't know the other sections of the movie, but also even her sections. It's like she goes in and she does the same scene 50 different ways, and she doesn't know what they're picking or how they're going to use it. So it's like, really, she doesn't know the movie until she sits down. And I think that obviously that wasn't exact. I think that that version of how this works has gotten more extreme as the movies have gone on. I don't know if that was necessarily how like the first couple worked, but that is how these last ones with Christopher McQuarrie have worked. And I think that for whatever reason, when you're working in such like a random sort of volatile format, that everything just clicked in Fallout in a way that a lot of people liked. And I think that both Dead Reckoning and Final Reckoning have a lot of exposition and a lot of sort of shenanigans trying to connect these set pieces together in ways that are like convoluted and don't really work and are distracting. And I think that Dead Reckoning Part 1 at least had, like, it seemed like there were a lot of stunt pieces. This, I felt like you sort of got halfway through this 2.5 hour long movie, and there really hadn't been that many stunts.
Put that number up. It was 250.
Oh, 250. Yeah. Okay, sorry. I'm like, there's really like two big set pieces in this. There's the one in the submarine, and then there's the one where he's like,
the airplane
hanging off the side of the airplane. And both of those stunt pieces I think are really well and really interesting. It's just the mechanics to get to those stunts is really confusing. And when you think about the fact that the movie is, yeah, like 3 hours long, and probably like a half hour of it is those two stunts, it's like, what else was in this movie? And it's just a lot of exposition. It's like so much exposition.
Well, that's why.
And I like, there had to have been a more streamlined way to get this man off the side of the plane. You know what I mean?
Well, exactly. That's why I think that where this fumbled the ball for me is in a bloated story. I think they tried too hard to make a interesting villain that could last two movies, because usually you have some bad guy, he's entrapping, you know, Tom Cruise into doing his will, so he has to go rogue and solve a problem in 2 hours or less. And that is a good formula, and it worked to the strengths of the film. And Fallout was good because they cared about the, you know, characters, and kind of this, like, you got this worn out Tom Cruise, and then he had to face, like, I don't know, like, it felt more human, and there was a simple villain. Whereas this was like, okay, we want to be over the top, and we're going to have a really complicated villain that kind of takes the human element out of it, literally, because it's an AI bot. And I just, like, I hate the villain, like the supercomputer type of thing. Like, oh, and Dead Reckoning Part One was so annoying to me because it was a computer that was like, oh, what's my end game? I'm a bad computer code. You better stop me. And I'm just like, this is not interesting and it's not fun. And yes, you have these human villains attached to the AI, like, I don't remember their names, but Dead Reckoning was kind of just like, ugh, this is what we're dealing with. Like, it's not, it's too complicated and it's too confusing. And all these governments are like, the AI is infiltrated. And it's like, well, how do you know that? Like, what is this countdown for? How are you predicting what will happen and how many days you have till it happens, when it's supposed to be this smart computer that outsmarts us all? And everyone's, I don't know, it became too complicated. The world was too aware of the situation. Like, in this sequel, the whole opening monologue by Angela Bassett, which is like probably a 15-minute, you know, if should you choose to accept this situation, was just so much exposition about how the world is now on, I don't know, like, everyone's on high alert. Everyone's aware that there's a AI changing images to look like a shooter at a mall. Like, it was just like, come on.
It's so simple. So it's just, so it's kind of like in the about, like, so the entity, you yeah. know that you have free will and you can choose the thing, but then God knows, the AI knows before you that the log truck is coming, but the log truck can't truck unless the log truck logs.
To, yeah,
right, no. Exactly. It's so
to
simple.
To build a special bed in which you can receive messages from the entity.
I don't hate an AI antagonist. Yeah, like, I sort of think that they're
great.
Yeah, well, and I was literally thinking of just that. I was like, I want a movie where it's like, oh, the AI is all knowing and it's connecting to things and it's changing the stoplights and, you know, it's like doing the thing. And you're like, oh, I just have to get to this box and hit this button or whatever and it'll shut it down. Like, but this AI was on one hand really smart and on the other hand, like, seemed not in touch
what
with
did it
things.
Want?
At various
I don't
points.
Know. Because he's like, I have to do this thing AI doesn't want me to, which is go get the kill code from the submarine that
crashed.
Well,
the AI wanted to destroy the world, but it was kind of like, why? Yeah. Because then what's the AI going to do? Like, just oh, the AI out, just man. Wants to hang out in this bunker until at some point, like, what the, like, you
I
run out
it.
Of electricity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
I
was,
get it.
it was very confusing what exactly the AI wanted to do.
And Gabriel was his henchman, but then the AI was like, you failed me. So now Gabriel was on the run from the AI, but also wanted to control the AI. And
they had to get these different pieces and then, oh, you have to use the pieces to launch a thing. And then if we launch it
and certain
we
people
put
knew
it
about
in this,
certain parts, the Russians were this, there, the Americans
like,
were there.
Thumb drive fast enough and pull the thumb drive out, then that'll keep
like
the
he was like,
AI bottle.
Let Gabriel walk away with this. And it's like, wait, but why? You could just, Like, I didn't, like, it was just, there was a lot. There was a lot of explaining, and the,
so much
the messages weren't connecting. Like, the goals weren't connecting for me. This movie, I think, was better than the first one because, one, there's closure, and two, the set pieces were very cool.
But I liked, in the first one, I thought that the sort of, like...
You liked the lady pickpocket.
Well, yes, I did. I thought that the set piece in the... airport kind of at the beginning, like with everybody running around, I thought that was at least like interesting. And then I liked the train stuff and him like jumping off the side of the cliff in the motorcycle. The sort of Venice section in the middle, I didn't necessarily love, and then what's her face dying for really no reason.
So dumb.
But at least with that, I felt like with that movie we got three big set pieces, mm-hmm. which is usually how these types of movies work. Like that's what you're expecting. And I felt like with this, we only really got two set mm-hmm. pieces because the stuff at the beginning didn't really feel like it was really like hitting anything.
No, and then it was also very talky.
While we're talking about convoluted things, I think that while the topic, while like submarine, like going through old submarine, like did really work in the movie and was really interesting to watch, all the mechanisms around it of like, oh, but you have to be in this pressure thing, and if the pressure's too high, then this, and if the pressure's too low, but you have
suddenly
to change
he's
the
holding
pressure,
his
whatever.
Breath and his lungs right,
it's like
exploding.
It's just like like, wait, this is all like, that is so complicated. There was a movie that came out earlier this year called The Last Breath about this diver. And that's all about the same stuff of like, oh, pressure in your underwater and whatever. And that literally like just spends the whole first half hour of the movie. Like, I think in a way that it's not in a way that's like boring, but in a way that sort of like works because the movie is, you know,
it's a little slower. Yeah.
Right. It moves a little slower and it's literally just about diving that you get. Oh, okay. Like, so this is
important.
Yeah. There are a lot of different things going on here of like, okay, if you go down too fast, you explode. If you go down too slow, like that kind of thing. Where in this, it's like they had to explain all of that, but then that was also being explained at the same time as all of this AI stuff.
I liked the submarine scene. I mean, not just the, oh, I'm exploring the submarine there, but like I liked the submarine cast, like the undercover submarine that rescues him from the frozen sea, and then they're training him for this deep dive. I liked those characters enough that I didn't mind them yelling at this weirdo who showed up, and they're like, FYI, crash course in not dying. I liked that.
I didn't like, I think that had it been in a vacuum, like I would have liked it more, but at that point where we were like an hour and a half into the movie that was full of exposition, and now we were getting a whole nother set of exposition on like decompression sickness.
No, I loved it.
I thought, oh my gosh, like is there ever going to be a line in this movie that's not just like, them like explaining something.
Well, what they needed to cut was all the American politics. Like, I hate that annoying white dude CIA guy who has it out for him, Kipling or something. I don't remember the actor, but I hate him. I hate his like energy. I hate that character. So the whole like first part where he has to get caught and then he's like transported to this like secret base that I think they built so that AI couldn't get to them, but it also seems very tech heavy, so it didn't seem like the smartest place to like get all your leaders in one spot, but whatever. I don't know, like I could have done without this like presidential cabinet. I didn't, anytime a president is thinking about whether or not to fire a nuclear weapon first, I'm just like, shut the fuck up. Like, you're the villain. Like, I do not like you. I do not like these Cold War antics. Like, oh, if we don't destroy an entire continent first, then they're going to come. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. If it's not an easy answer for you, then like you're dead to me. So all of that I could have lost. All love to Angela Bassett, but all of that was just so pointless to me. But as soon as we met Waddingham,
Who is she? Oh yes, the sea captain. Yeah. With a bizarre American accent. I was like, what?
I was like, yes, do more. She's like, you know where I was on April 14th in 1952. I was just like, yes, tell me more. Read me a bedtime story.
I love British people's American accents because it is, I think, similar to me doing a British accent, where it's like you're just like you have no idea where these accents come from in the country. So you're just sort of like grasping at something that you've seen in a movie. And it's like, what is this voice that she's doing? Like, it's obviously American, but it's so weird. And it's like, I've never, where?
It's iconic.
Yeah, like where in the country, like where in the backwoods is Hannah Waddingham's like American admiral from? Because it's not giving like the energy that she normally gives.
I know. And that was what was so great. It was like, she's usually like really like posh. She has a presence. Yeah.
Yes.
But here she's kind of like dorky in an American way. And I liked it. And she was like, well, I can't guarantee your safety once you're on that ship where they only get service every 5 seconds. And it was like, so as soon as that action piece was rolling, I was like, oh, okay, this is where we're at. Like, this is the Mission Impossible movie. Like, yes, it took an hour to get here, but now I'm locked in. And then,
but then, like, even with that, it's like, yeah, it has to, it the surfaces every 5 minutes,
yeah,
but if it's at the surface too long, it's going to get picked up by a Russian, and if it's...
But that's, the machine.
And I'm just like, what?
What are we talking about?
They
have to, like, problem solve, and, like, you know, he's...
But I didn't understand it. So, like, it was so confusing. It was so confusing that at a certain point, like, 40 minutes into the movie, I was like, you know what? Like, we're just disregard. Like, whatever's going to happen in the stunts is going to happen in the stunts. Yeah. I'm not even trying to track these, like, whatever machinations are going on of the plots and stuff.
Yeah.
And I can just see how this happens, where it's like, where they like build a piece and then it's like, oh, well, but now here's like one slight problem, so let's fix that. Okay, well, then that causes another problem, so let's fix that. Okay, well, then that causes... So then pretty soon it's like, you know, it's like you put like 16 bandages on the same thing, when it's like, no, what you really needed to do at some point was take all of that off and just rework the bottom, you know? It's
And it was like, they're trying to make it this like global, you know, tense situation. So while this sub, while they're chasing down the U.S. sub, the German or the Russian subs see them. And so then they're sending their fighter planes to be like, get out of our airspace. And it was confusing. And he's like, I've got to jump now. And it's like, they could have done that without introducing this, like, oh, we're going to get shot down by the Russians. Like, you know, it could have just been like, oh, we're out of gas, or here's your dropping point, good luck. And it's like, so there were moments where I definitely was like, huh? What's happening? Like, oh, this guy's holding a death switch somehow. Like, what's going on? Why are we, why are the Russians on this island? Where are they going now? And so there was a lot happening as sort of background noise to the two central plots. And it was also interesting to split up the team in basically the entire middle portion, because Tom Cruise goes off to do his like crazy stunts.
The underwater submarine.
Meanwhile, there's this like ragtag group of team members, and we haven't even gotten to the dead computer nerd who was somehow... Why was he being kept in a cavern?
Well, he had cancer or some sort of life-threatening thing. And I couldn't remember if that diagnosis we had gotten in the last movie and I had got, or if this was a new thing. But yeah, he's sick. And so, you know, he's
just literally underground.
Yes, he's underground.
What, hiding from the entity or something?
In the UK subway system. Yeah. I don't know why he's there. Yeah, maybe it is sort of the entity somehow, like he has to be off grid or something.
Yeah, to build his kill switch.
Yeah, but he ends up in some sort of weird like saw trap kind of thing where he has to sacrifice himself in order to
save
something. I can't remember. Yeah. And Yeah, so then he dies, and it is a real ragtag group of people because so many of the people from the actual movies are like dead.
I'm so it's basically
Hayley Atwell, who we know nothing about, the pickpocket woman who just showed up in the last one.
It's all about timing.
Simon Pegg, and then the like French assassin woman
who just from last one, right? Her.
Who they're like, oh sure, fine, we'll take her on our team. Is it just the three of them?
And then the
former like U.S. CIA, Army whatever guy who's now with them. And I was like, where did he come from? Was he was in the last one? I again have no.
I think he worked for Kittredge or whatever, the like annoying CIA leader. And then he popped up every now and again.
The CIA people like just to sort of like muck something up and then be gone. And it was like, what are you doing? Okay, wait. I want to compare this to Top Gun, which I think Top Gun Maverick like lacks so many specifics, as we've talked about. Like you have no idea who the bad guy is. Like you really have no idea what the stakes. But the plot is so simple, and then it just executes that plot really well. And I sort of think that, in to a certain degree, that is why Mission Impossible Fallout also succeeded. That movie is a lot of action, and it's sort of it's pretty like straightforward plot wise. And I think that this one struggles by having not enough action and too much plot, and we just did not need all of that. Yeah, it's like there's this movie.
It's like the Fast and the Furious franchise. Like, I know you don't like those, but those are just action pieces and they're fun kind of goofy.
I like some of the Fast and the Furious movies, and I think that. And I think those movies like live and die on how good those action sequences are, because there's not a lot of other stuff in them.
Yeah.
And it's also pretty easy, like what they're going to do. It's like, oh, we got to, you know, like they set up, like, here's the thing we have to do. Now let's do it. And it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
And
no, this was confusing and it was too complicated. Like it was burdened by its own hubris. And I think that was reflected in these constant callbacks and literal flashbacks to early movies, which was just so like cringy to me. Like, yeah, we're all here for the nostalgia of it, but like I don't think we needed every character to like loop back. Like suddenly the CIA agent or whoever he was is actually the son of this guy from the first film. And then you also have the reveal of also from the first film, the guy who, I mean, I don't, you never saw the first one? You never saw the original?
No, of like the person who was running the lab with the lasers or whatever. Yeah,
like the very famous scene where he breaks into the CIA, you know, impossible to get in room. Like iconic, but this actor's not necessarily great. Like he hasn't been in anything. He was probably like an extra basically in the first film.
And now he's married to just some indigenous woman.
Living in he's living in the Arctic, married to an Inuit and just like vibing. And it was like meant to be cool and cutesy and sort of free Tom Cruise of these guilts of collateral damage. But it was also like, oh, well, he's not a good actor. So it's actually kind of painful to watch. And also, he like wastes 2 hours of this team's limited time by pretending that he doesn't already have the codes. Like, what was that about, sir? Like, I know the Russians were there, so you couldn't just say it out loud. But like, you could have done this much faster, I think. And I was like, wait, so they don't need to go into the build a record player or something? Like they spent so much time explaining what they needed to do, to have that then not need done was very confusing. And then to have this big set piece with the Russians who are like, we'll be there too, and then they're never seen again, never ever heard from. It's just like, oh, okay, sorry. Like I was just like, that was a lot of exposition that didn't even end up mattering. And
I think like we've seen so many of these action movies at this point, and it's really straightforward, I feel like, how these kinds of scenes work, where it's like, okay, A, we set up how the plan is supposed to work, and also the thing that we need at the end. Then B, we sort of launch that plan and inevitably something doesn't work, but we know sort of what the end goal is, so we can, and because we know what the plan originally was, we can be like, oh, this didn't work, but now they have to figure it out. And so you can sort of like follow along with them.
Yeah.
Until they eventually like reach whatever the end point is, just in a different route that's different from the plan. The problem with this was that the plans were so convoluted that then when they didn't work, it was like, well, why did we spend so much time learning this convoluted plan that we didn't need to learn because it didn't pay off? Because
like, that's not what happened anyways. Why did he need to have a conversation with the entity? Why did he get into that little computer box? And then it
God
was
knows.
Like, it was just like virtual reality disaster scenario. I was like, wait, he's like, don't go on the ice. And then she is the one who goes on the ice and it's like, fine. So it was very confusing. And what really stood out to me this time around is like how, like, yes, every other Mission Impossible has been pretty sexless. It's not like your James Bond. He doesn't have that sort of joie de vivre of your usual super spy. Like, he's not concerned with getting the ladies. And yet there's always this, you know, pretty brunette tagging along. And so it was weird that they tried to position it as he'd do anything for her. Like, that's the entire first
And they have that film. Weird, like...
And they have that weird little, like, oh, we're in the decompression table.
Right.
together. And yet they never, like, they never kiss. There is no love. Right. There's no romance. And so it's sort of confusing why he cares about her.
It's like, are they just friends? Like, are you and I going to get in the compression tent at some point?
I will. I'll rub your body.
Weird moment.
Well, that's like, and that I was just like mad that we didn't have Rebecca Ferguson, because I feel like that would have been a more compelling. They had a long lasted relationship.
And
they had romantic
angles. Michelle Monaghan, because wasn't she in the last one?
Yeah, she was. She was sort of but I liked that they closed her out. It's like she's
Did
happy
she
doing
die,
her
though?
Little.
No,
no. She's just doing left. Like she's just living the simple life, going around.
Because they showed her in this one, and I was like, wait, I thought she was still alive. But they showed her like as if she had died like an early movie.
And they did not show Rebecca Ferguson, except maybe in like a single like quick shot to who died last time. And it's just
probably because. Because she's pissed off and she was like, I'm not giving you the rights to use my face.
I mean, and to replace her with Hayley Atwell, who's like the most boring character here. She's just a pickpocket. Like, she has nothing else to go for her. Like, it's like there's nothing interesting to make her the final girl. And so it sort of felt robbed that we didn't have, you know, microscopic emotional connection from the earlier stuff with Rebecca Ferguson. But it was like, I would rather have seen Vanessa Kirby show up. You know, like, what's going on here?
Oh, yeah. What's going on with Vanessa Kirby? Yeah, it's like, she's the most interesting character, I feel like, that we've gotten in the last couple of years. And we did not see her at all.
Yeah. So it was kind of like, okay, yeah, whatever. And then the final set fight chase with the little airplanes was good. And yeah, I expected more people to die because they were literally outrunning a... I'm sorry, I wouldn't have made that run in 10 seconds. I would have been blown to bits.
Oh, yeah. When they were, you couldn't have made that with your slow walk. It would have taken you 40 years to get to that door.
I've got this one, guys. You go for it. But yeah, the final chase, it's like fun to watch him do these crazy stunts, knowing he did his best to do them all in real life. But then it ends and it's sort of like they all end up back in... The final shot is them back in the streets of London, just giving each other the nod and then walking.
Yeah, just like in like Kensington or what's that?
The Trafalgar.
Yes, yes, yeah. Trafalgar Square. Yeah.
Like, let them go get coffee together or something. Why all these like dramatic nods? Like, I do not understand.
Well, also, you can just tell that like Tom Cruise is not British, because it's like, can you imagine if they ended some like if it was an American or like thing and we all ended by like, oh yeah, we all have to go nod to each other in Times Square. It's like, no, like nobody's doing that. That's a terrible occasion.
And also giving him the supercomputer, it's like, are you guys really expecting me to think that I would trust Tom Cruise with the superpower?
Well, that's part of why I was like, oh, there must be another one, because like, why didn't they destroy it? Like, why wasn't there a scene where they like banged it with a hammer?
Yeah, like Harry Potter and the wand of magical realness.
I'm also just, okay, maybe this is a like side tangent, but I'm also just so intrigued by like this cast hanging out with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Like, because Tom Cruise is obviously like an odd individual.
He's quirky. He's
and old. These people had to spend a lot of time with him. And I'm like, what were they talking about? You know, like Simon Pegg seems like the exact opposite type of person from Tom Cruise. And it's like, what
are they talking about when they hang out?
You know, he's like, I think what I've heard is that he's just like really respectable. Like he's a good guy to work with because he just does his job and he's cordial and he's fine.
Simon Pegg or Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise. And so it's like, I can see it being like it's going to a work retreat where you're like, uh-huh. Yeah, we have to have some dinner sometimes. And we just sort of like, you know, who knows? You chat about weird stunts or I don't know, your favorite movie.
So you don't think he's bringing up Scientology to them?
I don't think so.
Interesting.
I mean, yeah, I think he probably learned his lesson. And, you know, from the whole Nicole Kidman, I love her, like, and the Scientology ads and the going clear of it all. So it's probably just, like, better left unsaid.
Wow, Tom Cruise is 62.
His look was looking old. Like, I was like, this poor guy. And that's why I felt like it should have ended with them hanging out. Like, you know, give me them at the shawarma shop. Like, I don't need this weird.
Yes.
Like, half of them aren't even spies, so they don't need to be, like, undercover. Right. Like, yes. They could talk to each other. It's fine.
And they could all retire at this point. Like, what do they need to be doing?
Yeah, so that was kind of an odd ending where I was like, I expected them to, like, talk, but they did. They just nodded. But I will say one of my favorite scenes was when the French assassin and the ex-Navy SEAL or whatever only communicated with their eyes, and they kept on like having full conversations by just like looking at each other, or like when she's first escaping and they have guns pointed at each other and they're just like having an entire dialogue with just facial expressions. Who, I thought that was fun.
Who? Her, the French woman, and who?
The soldier who ends up joining them.
Oh, yes.
He's like convinced by a speech to finally join them. But at first it's like, she's like, you put the gun down. And he's like, no. And it's all done through eyes. And that happens a few more times in the film. But I was like, at a certain point, you guys can talk together. Like, you can communicate. And I felt like they earned a final. Like, did they not see each other after blowing up the, like, did he just like get carted off? And I don't know. I just was confused by ending up in London again. Like, it didn't make sense to me. They could just be in the White House about to get a secret award from the president and just chatting with each other in a hallway. Like, it was very odd.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole movie was bizarre.
So it's like Fallout remains supreme. This was a good film because it gives you what you want from a Mission Impossible movie as far as like crazy sets, pieces, and action scenes, and Tom Cruise serving windblown face like for 40% of the film, curled up like a baby in the Arctic Sea. I liked all that. And so I think it's like a fun piece, whereas I couldn't recommend Dead Reckoning Part 1. I thought it was so boring and bad and whatever.
I'm surprised though, because I feel like this... like the original, like sort of reviews or tweets or whatever about this coming out, because it was premiered at Cannes, were like all pretty negative.
Oh,
and,
really?
And I, or you know, just like sort of saying like it wasn't as good as some previous entries into the franchise, which I think, and like not necessarily a great ending to it in some ways. But then it has an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is high. Like,
yeah.
And I wasn't sure if, like, maybe it's just sort of like, those last, like, couple stunts and things really, like, take you over the edge and you sort of forget the first hour of the movie. But I'm like, this for me, like, doesn't, like, it has some very obvious flaws. And I sort of can't see how you would argue around those. You know what I mean? Like, I think even if you really liked this, you'd say,
the first one. You know what I mean?
I guess that's true.
Hold over. So it's less that they're making new mistakes and more that they're forced to deal with the beast they created earlier.
But I kind of feel like if you saw this, you'd have to be like, yeah, it was kind of convoluted, but I really enjoyed the stunts. Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess maybe that is...
I think all the reviews are like, what a great homage to a great series.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of... It's a lot of fan service. And so I think similar to something like, I mean, any franchise that's getting a closer, you kind of have that like, oh, wow, what a career. What a career this guy has had, and what a way to go out. And so it's sort of just like giving him his past views.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's It's interesting because honestly, you know, Mission Impossible, totally different film, great film, but totally different. MI2, panned, hated, no one liked it. I don't remember MI3. And then you do get these more mainstream, like, big hitters. But it's sort of like, oh yeah, like, what are we celebrating here exactly? Like, what is it? Like, and
I think
it comes down to
people really liked the third one.
Oh yeah.
Because that's the J.J. Abrams one. And I feel like that was the one that was sort of like,
oh, and that's the one that started this, right? It was like stealing the super venom or whatever.
I don't remember.
Oh, what you did 17 years ago is why we're here with the supercomputer genius entity whatever villain. Yeah, I don't know.
Sure.
So yeah, I think it's like, you know, all in all, a good franchise for what it is. And I think that's sort of what the celebration is for this final, supposedly final.
What other did Christopher McQuarrie work on? I'm like, what was he doing before this? Oh, he was a screenwriter.
Wasn't he doing The Incredibles? Am I making that up?
No, that's Brad Bird.
Oh, what was he doing?
He wrote the only movies he directed before this were The Way of the Gun in 2000, which looks like it's a Ryan Phillippe movie, and then Jack Reacher. But he also was a writer on The Usual Suspects, Valkyrie, that's the Tom Cruise movie. Oh, The Tourist, he was a writer on. Edge of Tomorrow. So it looks like he's written a bunch of movies. The Mummy reboot with...
Oh, no.
So yeah, he's just been writing a lot of Tom Cruise movies, apparently. So they must be like really good besties.
Yeah. Maybe he's gotten the Scientology spiel. Anyways, that's it. You'll probably never have to watch a Mission Impossible again in your life.
Thank goodness. Okay, I think we'll be back next week. Yes. And then things start to get a little bit more dicey. Yeah. But next week, it's like, are we going to be talking about Karate Kid Legends? Are we going to be talking about The Phoenician Scheme? I know you love a Wes Anderson movie.
Oh my God, no.
We could do Lilo and Stitch. Did you see that? Did you end up seeing that?
I did see that, yeah.
I have not seen it, but I could probably convince myself to.
Zach Galifianakis, unrecognizable. Literally did not realize it was him until the credit roll.
He's in Lilo and Stitch? Yeah. He plays Stitch? Is that why he's unrecognizable?
No, he plays one of the the aliens who come down to catch him. Like, he plays the genius who created him, but then they get into a human form pretty early on through some alien tech. So it's Zach Galifianakis, but like, I literally didn't recognize him. I think he has veneers.
Interesting. Oh gosh, not veneers.
Anyways, yeah, we can find something. Or you can binge watch The Last of Us Season 2, which has its finale this week.
Yeah, probably won't be watching that. There is the movie Mountain Head, which I'm intrigued by, which is the new, like, it's HBO, but it's like Steve Carell, and it's from the guy who wrote and directed Succession. Oh. And it's about like four billionaires who are like in their mountain home during the, like, when a financial crisis strikes.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm like, I feel like that could be either like really good or really bad.
Yeah, okay. We'll keep our ear to the ground.
Yes,
you know,
we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But thank you for listening. And yes, we're getting very close to our 300th episode.
It.
So continue to submit us questions. Please. Okay, well, thanks for listening. See you guys next week. Bye.